I've preached about this. I don't think I've ever preached it, put it all together. I think I've preached a piece of it, but I don't know if I've ever put it together, preach on. So y'all pray for me tonight. If I make a mess of it, y'all just pray for me. Miss Heather, I got 3 points. but we'll see how that goes. But if you have your Bible, just go ahead and stand tonight in reverence to the Word of God. And I just want to preach on something that's... I'm just praying tonight it'll get a hold of somebody's heart. It got a hold of my heart. And just let you think about how good God is. And Brother Bill, he doesn't give us according to what we deserve.
That's right.
Amen. And I want to show you this in the Scripture tonight, that God does not treat us like we should be treated. And he doesn't look on us to say, boy, I'll tell you one thing, they're deserving. But he looks past us. And looks, you know, it's an amazing thing to me. It's not only amazing that God saved me, that God saved me not only knowing what I was, but he saved me knowing what I would be.
Right.
You realize that God saved you even though he knew you'd make mistakes?
Amen.
Has that ever dawned on you that God saved you knowing how bad you'd mess up sometimes? And he did it anyway, Miss Tracy. That's amazing how much God loves me tonight.
Amen.
And whenever you start thinking that way, when you start thinking, well, God don't love me, you better think back a little bit. If God saved you, if you're saved tonight, God saved you in spite of yourself.
Right.
Just because he loved you and cared for you enough to do it tonight. Oh, my goodness, where did I start tonight? Look at verse number 1 with me. It's a good place to start, number 1. Look at verse 1 with me. Chapter 30, 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 1. We'll start there tonight. Did I not even get the passage? That's scary. 40 years old is hard on me, Brother Tony. Amen. 46. Done bound halfway in that one. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. I knew everybody was looking at me like, I was like, well, why don't y'all turn your Bibles? Preacher, why don't you tell me where to turn? I'm going to preach the whole book tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 1. Thank you for standing for the word. Listen to what it says. The Bible says in Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 1, Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. Verse 3 says, for they could not keep it at that time. We'll preach tonight on this passage of Scripture tonight in chapter 30 on this thing, on blessed outside the borders or blessed outside the boundaries. I want to introduce you to this thought that God allowed them to have the Passover outside what the law said. The law said totally different. And God blessed them outside the borders of the law. This is the most amazing passage in the Bible of the love of God for those who want to worship him. If you want to worship him, he's willing many times to step outside the borders of law in order to let you worship him. And some people say, well, I got to wait till I get to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night, Wednesday night. No. No, you can worship outside. You should worship Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I mean, that's when the church comes together. We're assembly. But you don't have to wait till then. Amen. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Father, thank you for letting us be in the house of God tonight. Lord, I pray you take your word. I pray you'd illuminate it for our eyes, our ears, and our hearts tonight that we might take this passage of Scripture. Lord, I thank you for bringing this passage back to my attention. And I thank you for letting me study it. And I thank you, Lord, for the love that you have for your people and for those that seek your face. Lord, you said if we knock, you'll open. If we seek, we'll find. Lord, if we're not finding, and Lord, if you're not opening, it cannot be because of you. It must only be because of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Be seated tonight. There was a schedule according to the law. God gave Moses a schedule of how to worship, when to worship. And in fact, he gave a very strict schedule as far as the Passover, when the Passover was to take place and when that time of Passover feast was to take place. Now, if you're reading your Bible here in verse 1 again, it says, and Hezekiah sent unto all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. Now, Hezekiah was having, God was moving upon King Hezekiah to have revival in Israel. Revival was being brought to Israel. One of the greatest revivals in Israel's time happened under King Hezekiah. There's things changed during his rule. And then we see here that he calls them all out and says, you need to come to the house of God. And we're going to have the Passover. But here's the amazing thing about it. If you have your Bible, you don't have to turn there, but if you'd like to, you can turn to Exodus chapter number 12 under the law of Moses. Exodus chapter number 12 and verse number 6, and I'll turn there real quickly. Exodus chapter 12 verse number 6 says this. God gave very specific guidelines to having the Passover service. Look what it says. Exodus chapter 12, I'll back up a little bit. Verse number 1 says, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, verse chapter 12, verse 2, this month shall be unto you the beginning of the months. That's the month Nisan. That's the beginning of the months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now, they don't start in January. They start in the month of Nisan. He said, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, now the lamb's never too little for the house, but the house can be too little for the lamb. Isn't that a great, great thought right there? Amen. If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto him take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make you count for the lamb. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Look at verse 6. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now this is the Passover. And he said when the Passover happens, you're going to take it in the first month. That was the first month. That is Nisan. You're going to take it on the 10th day, and on the 14th day, you're going to offer the sacrifice of the Passover lamb. Amen. That's right there in the Bible. Turn back over with me now, 2 Chronicles. Look at verse number 2 of chapter number 30. It says, for the king had taken counsel, and his princes, all the congregation of Jerusalem, to keep the Passover in the, what? Second month. Now that is absolutely against the law. The law said, God gave the commandment, and said, you're to keep that Passover in the first month from the 10th to the 14th day. And so we find out here an absolutely against the law's time, and the law's schedule is not going to be kept here. Amen. But the reason they did it is found out in Numbers chapter number 9, verse number 10. Chapter number 29, verse number 10, I believe it is. Let me see if I can get this right. He said, no, chapter 9, verse 10. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you or your posterity shall be unclean by reason of the dead body, you don't have to turn there, or be in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord, the 14th day of the second month, at even they shall keep it, and eat it, and unleavened bread, and bitter herbs. Now if a person was traveling, and they were too far away, or they had touched a dead body and made themselves unclean, they could keep the Passover on the second month, on the 14th day. But that's not what they're going to do here. Notice what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 3. Now, this takes a little bit of study here, but look at verse number 3. The Bible said, he, this King Hezekiah, chapter 2 Chronicles 29, verse number 3, he, in his first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. So in his first year, on the first month, we're in Nisan, and he opened the doors on the first day and begins to prepare the temple because it's an ill repair. And so they can't have worship until they get the things right there. Now, if you take 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse number 17, look what it says. Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify, and on the 8th day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and in the 16th day of the month, they made an end. Now notice what happened. The Bible says that you're supposed to make the sacrifice, you're supposed to have the Passover lamb in the first month from the 10th day to the 14th day. We got it? Says if you be too far off or you're unclean because you touched a dead body, then you can take it on the second month on the 14th day and have the Passover. Am I right? Now we study this and they're there trying to repair the temple. And on the first month, in the 16th day, they finished repairing the temple and sanctifying it. But wait a minute, it's too late to do it according to the law. Because the law said you had to do it on the first month, from the 10th day to the, you say, I don't like all these numbers. Oh, it's important. From the 10th day to the 14th day, but it's passed. Why is it passed? Because it's getting things in order. It's getting things in order. And it ain't because they're so far off. They're right there. But they done passed the time of Passover. So they wanting to have the Passover, and they've been repairing the temple. It's required for them to do it. And they've already missed the Passover time. The law said you had to do it from here to here, but they've already missed it. And what does he say we're going to do? He said, for the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation to keep the Passover in the second month, chapter 30, verse 2. Look at verse number 3. For they could not keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently. They've not even got their self already. In fact, in chapter 29, you'll find out there wasn't even enough priests to even make the daily sacrifices to sanctify the temple. It was so much so that they fell back to the Levites that were following the high priest and the priest and their duties. The Levites that weren't even ready to be a priest yet were there making sacrifices and handing the blood to the priest so he could sprinkle it on the people. In chapter 30. Now, notice what happens. Verse 3, for they could not keep it at that time, because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently. They were not readied. Neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. What happened? Man, I'm telling you, the Bible says in chapter 29, it happened so quickly, and revival came so quickly, and a decision to have things, that they couldn't get their things prepared fast enough. They literally could not sanctify, get the house prepared, get things in order to do it. And so the day passed by, and they wanted to have it. Their heart was, their love for God was better, was greater than the law's timing. The law said you gotta have it on the first day between the 10th month and the 14th day, 10th day and the 14th day, and it's already past it, but they loved the Lord so much, they said we want to have the Passover anyway, so we're gonna get together, and we're gonna pray about it, and we're gonna have it on the second month. You say, well, that's not legal. It's not legal, but it's love. They said, man, we don't want to go another year. We don't want to pass by a whole another year and not have the Passover. We don't want to go by another year and get over the fact that when God passed over and didn't take our firstborn, we don't want to go past that. We don't want to get over our day when we got saved. We don't want another year to pass by and not celebrate when we got saved. We want to go ahead and celebrate that thing. And so love's timing was greater than the law's timing. Look at verse number 4 with me. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. Look at verse 5. So they established a decree to make a proclamation throughout all the Israel from Beersheba even to Dan that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem, for they had not done it of a long time in such a sort as is written. They had not been sacrificed. They had not been worshiping God. They had got over when they got in. And they said, you know what? We're so moved to God. We're so moved to God. Miss Freeman back there said, that's sad. You're right. But Miss Freeman, we do it every Sunday. We act like we got over when we got in. Amen. They said they were so in love with the Lord that they didn't want to wait another year to celebrate Him passing over and not taking their lives. Love's timing is greater than law's timing. Would you agree? They say, we don't want to wait another time. You say, well, that's law, but I'm glad there's something greater than law. Now look at verse number 6 through me, with me in verse number 6 through verse number 11. So we see law's schedule is overdone by love's schedule. Then look at law's selection. Look at verse 6. So the post went into the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, according to the commandment of the king, saying, ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of kings of Assyria. So there's a letter of covenant sent out, and it's sent out to those that are of the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or Israel there. And so we see a letter of covenant is sent out. He reminds them where they're from. Look at verse number 7. Stay with me. And ye be not like your fathers, And ye be not like your fathers, and like your brethren, which trespass against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as you see. He said, listen, in this letter, he said, you crossed over. You went over places where you shouldn't be, and you trespassed in places you ought not be in. And so in that letter, he tells them where they crossed the boundaries. Look at verse number 8. Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves. He said, don't be callous, don't be hard-headed, don't be stiff-necked. He said, as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. And so we see a letter to those that might be calloused. Look at verse number 9. For if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if ye return unto him. And so we see a letter of repentance or a letter of compassion where he tells them, if you'll turn back to God, you can save your brethren and you can save your children from the wrath that is to come. Does that make sense? So in this letter, he tells them there's a letter of covenant. There's a letter of crossover. You've crossed over where you ought not be. There's a letter of callousness. Don't be stiff-necked. There's a letter in this about the compassion of God. And he tells them to come back. Now here is Law's crowd. Law's crowd is found in verse number 10. He said, so the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun, but they laughed them to scorn and mocked him. The ones went out, the post went out, and they went into all the children of Israel. Went into the 10 tribes there of Israel. And they went throughout all those areas. And as they went through those areas, and they said, I'm telling you, it's time to turn around and turn back. According to law, all the message had to go out to all those, that covenant group. But the ones on the covenant group, the Bible says, they laughed them to scorn. But there's another group. The Bible said there's a certain group that loved the Lord. Look at verse 11. Nevertheless, divers of Asher, wait a minute, Asher's some of them too, of Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Didn't say they all did, but there was a certain one of them there. There's a few here and there's a few there and there's a few over there that love the Lord. And they realized that they had come back. There was a covenant with God that he'd keep. They realized that they didn't want to be calloused. They realized that the compassion of God could fall upon them and save not only their own lives, but the lives of their brethren and the lives of their children. And certain of them, Miss Tracy, turned to God and came back to God. Now notice what it says. Verse 12. Also in Judah, the hand of God was given them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. And so there was a certain group that says, you know what? It may not the rest of the crowd going to do this, but I'm going to Jerusalem. We're going to worship the Lord because I need compassion. I've been given a covenant. I'm not going to be hard and calloused. I'm going to get back to Jerusalem and I'm going to get some help from God and I'm going to let God work on me. I'm going to let God work out my family problems. I'm going to let God work on our home. I'm going to let God work on our house and our heart. And I'm going to let God be the head of our home and the head of our lives, and he's going to be Lord and he's going to save us from the judgment to come. Are y'all listening to me? I said a certain crowd says, you know what? I'm going to get everything I can get from God no matter what the rest of the crowd does. And by the way, sometimes you have to come to church spite everybody. Amen. Sometimes you just have to come on church whether nobody else is going to come or not. Because you know that's where you're going to get the help at. You just got to come on. You listening? This ain't boring you to death, is it? It's just Bible. Now listen, what I'm saying, there's a very critical thing in this passage. You say, preacher, I don't get all this. Hey, the Bible says that law had a schedule, but love allowed them to go outside that schedule and they were going to keep that Passover. And then number two, we see that law had a selection that it would offer everybody. And if everybody didn't come, well, then everybody's out. But love allows those whosoever wills to step in, even though the rest of the crowd won't. Aren't you glad today you got saved or tonight you got saved that God allowed a one person to get saved? Hey man, I'm glad I didn't have to wait for the crowd to get in order for me to get saved. Are you listening? I've told you many times, there was five young men sat on the back row that night. One of them got saved. I'm glad I got saved. Out of the five, there's only two of us still living. Brother Tony, I'm 46 years old. There wasn't a person back there over 2 years older than me. You hear what I'm telling you tonight? You better be glad that God allows us to come one at a time. You hear what I'm saying? So we see here that law of selection said all come, but love certainly allowed those that would come. Pretty good there, isn't it? Oh, it's much better than that. Yeah, come on now. It's much better than that. Look at with me in verse number 12 through 20, and I'm done. Look at verse number 14. Let me move on. Verse number 14. The Bible says, and they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars for incense took they away and cast them in the brook Kidron. They took all them false idols of idolatry and things like that, and they cleansed them out of Israel. They got rid of them, took them down to the brook Kidron, and throwed them in there. Said, we don't want none of that in the house of God. Y'all listening? Now watch. Look at verse number 15. Then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month, and the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings in the house of the Lord, and they stood in their place in, after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests sprinkled the blood which they received of the hand of the Levites. Now law is at work. Law says idolatry can't be there, and so they cast them out. That's good. Law said idleness should not be there. And so those priests got ashamed, sanctified themselves, and stood in the place where they're supposed to be according to the law of Moses. Is that what the Bible says? Look at verse number 17. We're building now. Watch verse 17. For there were many in the congregation. There were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passover for everyone that was not clean to sanctify themselves in the Lord. I mean, there's so many there, they could not sanctify the people fast enough to take the Passover. And it's worse than that. Do you know that that crowd showed up? Look at verse 18. For a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. They showed up and they didn't go through a time of cleansing. They didn't go through a time of purification. They didn't offer all the sacrifices. All the blood hadn't been sprinkled for all of them. They just come to the house of God, if you will, and they said, we want to celebrate the Passover of God that God passed over us one day and did not have judgment fall on us. You know what it's a beautiful picture of? It's a beautiful picture of the day that you and I were on our way to hell and God passed over and did not put judgment on us like we deserve. And they said, we want to celebrate this. And they began to eat that Passover. And it was absolutely in ignorance to the law. They did not keep it. They showed up and they just began to take over that Passover. And they began to consume it. And a lot of us say, I'll tell you one thing, you know what God's going to do? God's going to reach over and God's going to strike them dead for that. Oh, but look at the compassion of God. The Bible says, oh, Hezekiah was there. Look at with me. Verse number 18. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon every one that prepareth his what? Heart to seek God. That prepareth his heart to seek God. Y'all get it? Say it with me. That prepareth his heart to seek God. He says, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. Look at verse 20. And the Lord hearkened unto Hezekiah and healed the people. God just said, whew. You know what he's saying? He said, I love them so much, I'll let grace abound above the law. And I'll give them something they didn't deserve. Amen. And I'll just heal the whole crowd. The word heal there has the same meaning as forgive. I will just forgive the whole crowd. Brother Freeman, that was before Calvary. A lot of people say, only way anybody ever got saved In the Old Testament, I've heard people try to tell me that people got saved by the law. Ain't nobody ever got saved by the law. Law is no more than a schoolmaster to bring you to grace. They weren't saved that day by the law. The Bible says that God healed them. They were absolutely in absolute ignorance of what the law told them to do. But their heart was so much seeking God, God said, they're sin, they're seeking me. I'll just heal them all. Some out the back to open the back door and run out in the rain. Thank God. Here he is. Let me tell you this, what that means. I mean, God loves you. He don't excuse your sin. Don't you go out and say the preacher said you can go out and live any old life and God excuse your sin. That's not what I'm saying, and that's not what this teaches right here. What this says, it says a lot of time in our ignorance when we deserve God to judge us and we don't deserve the grace of God because of all the mistakes we make and all the fumblings we make and all the steps we step and all the things we get into we ought not get and all the thoughts we thought. Yet God begins to move on our heart. When we begin to seek His face, God just heals our hurt. God many times, listen to this, God many times looked over me and you because of Calvary. Many times He's seen that Passover lamb passed over us when we had no way, no right to come to Him. But because of grace, He just healed the whole crowd. You know why? Because they were seeking His face. Now look at it with me. You say, well, how good was it? You don't mind me reading some verses? Just a few verses. Look at verse number 21. Oh, I'll short it up anymore. Look at verse number 23. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days. They're supposed to keep it 7 days. They said, man, we're so excited. Let's keep it 7 more. They entered into a 2-week revival. Wouldn't it be something God send us a jubilee and this thing break out in revival all over this county. You say, well, preacher, we're not good enough for God to do that. We've never been good enough. But God's been good enough to do it. God could do it. God could do it. You say, I don't know. Things are done. God could do it. If we just seek it with our heart. Look on with me. Verse 23. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days. And they kept other 7 days with gladness. For Hezekiah the king of Judah did give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep. And the princes gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep. And a great number of the priests sanctified themselves. And all the congregation of Judah with the priests and Levites and all the congregation that came out of Israel and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel and that dwelt in Judah rejoiced. So there was a great joy in Jerusalem. For since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. And this is a bunch of people that didn't even know how to get clean. They didn't have all the pomp and circumstances that they had when Solomon opened the doors of the temple first time. But it had one thing for sure, had the presence of God. You say, I don't believe that. Look at with me in verse number 27. Then the priests and Levites arose and blessed the people. Listen to this. And their voice was heard. And their prayer came up to His holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. Bunch of ragtag people show up at the house of God and just wants to be in God's presence and just wants to worship God. And God says, you know what? They ain't perfect, but they're seeking me. I'll just heal them all. The Bible says they rejoice and say, let's do it again 7 more days. Let's do it. That's so good this week. Let's do it again next week. And they got all together and done it. And people begin to offer sacrifices. The king gave everything. The princes gave everything. And they rejoiced. But the greatest thing about it was that their prayers entered all the way into heaven. That old ragtag group got their prayers into the throne room. I'm going to tell you here tonight, don't you tell me what God cannot do with a bunch of people that would just seek His face. And don't try to rely on your own righteousness or the righteousness of the law, or trying to be good enough, but just come to God, seek Him from your heart, and let God hear our prayers. Brother Ty, the only reason I'm saved, I didn't get saved because I was good enough. I got saved because healed me. He just forgave me. Are you getting it? Brother Freddie, the only reason you're saved is because God just forgave you. The only reason you're saved. You saved? The only reason you're saved. Brother Tony, you saved? The only reason you're saved is because God said, I'll forgive him. Brother Charles, you saved? The only reason you're saved is that God said, I'll do it. You saved? God said, I'll do it. You saved? You saved? God said, I'll just heal him. You say? Ask me. Hey, man, I'm saying. Oh, if God would just show up beyond our weaknesses, beyond our frailties, beyond our ignorance, if we just seek him from our heart. I'm so tired this crowd thinks that they're good enough. We ain't never been good enough. There's no man ever been justified by the law. Oh man. I'll just heal him. I don't know about you, but this passage of scripture absolutely amazes me every time I read it. Every time I read it. Because this is under the law. And under law, we're law bound. Grace does much more about it. He said, oh, they're looking for me. I talked to Brother Gooseby one time. He said he preaches up north in revival sometime years ago when he was evangelist to work. And he told me, he said, preacher, sometime I go in there and said, those people, he said, they have a church and they said, oh, pastor, that is the best message. He said, you preach and they all just look at you. They don't even know how to say amen. They ain't never been around nothing that says amen. He's a preacher. Sometimes they come to church, they ain't dressed right. Sometimes they come to church, they don't know how to. I mean, some of them, you know, they just don't know nothing about anything of what we call worship. He said, you can preach the whole message and there won't be a holy grunt in the whole service. Just sit there, look at you. Listening, but looking at you. He said, then you can get down to the point with altar call and you have the altar call. And he said, literally, preacher, the whole church will move to the altar and cry and weep. Get saved and get right. He said, oh, they ain't got it all down pat. But he said, I've sure seen God sweep through and meet with them. You know where worship starts? Not in the head. Starts in the heart. Not in works of righteousness, which we have done. Oh, no. Starts in the heart. God, I'm going to seek your face. I may not even know what to say. I've heard people get up. Somebody told me one time they had a fella get saved in their church and said he got up. And what did he say? It wasn't amen or glory. It's like, I don't know, somebody shouted at a ball game. Yeah, whoop, that's what it was. It was, whoopee! Everybody looked around. He didn't know what to say. He just knew he wanted to say something to the Lord. You know what God did? God heard it all the way to heaven. Why? Because it comes to the heart. Now, should we learn? Oh, yeah. Paul said, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. Amen. But I tell you, a lot of times, we're so organized, and God can't be with 100 miles of us. We're dead as corn chucks. As the guy said, God, just pardon them. And he healed them all. Brother Freeman, dismiss us, please, sir.